Welcome, my name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisor, say the darndest things in my mom's favorite Christian Financial Advisor. And today we're going to have a quick video on the four pillars of Christian investing. I get this question a lot. What's the difference between Christian investing and traditional investing? Well, I'm not here to drag it out. There's not much difference, except for one thing, which I'm going to share with you at the very end. The four pillars is the foundation by which you're going to build your financial plan. The first is going to be debt management. Without this first step, we will never be able to build a solid foundation of a Christian financial plan. Debt management is something that we are going to continue to do throughout our financial journey. As we progress through life, whether in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, there's always a chance that we are going to fall into debt or we are going to be approached with an opportunity to take on more debt. What that looks like? We may purchase a new car. We may buy a new rental property. We may find ourselves in an insurance claim after a major storm, a hurricane, or a tornado where we don't have the cash flow immediately available and we may have to take on debt. We may have to take on a loan. So being able to manage your debt and being able to understand the components of that debt is going to put you in a better situation. So one of the first things we need to understand is the rate. What are you being charged for this money? Now, this is a silly question, but money does cost. How much does your dollar cost? Now, I want you to think about this because when you have a credit card and you're paying a 20% interest, let's make very simple math here. You buy one hamburger for $1. How much does that hamburger cost? You may say it costs you a dollar. Well, if you buy it today and you pay it off today, it costs you a dollar. But what if you put it on your credit card and you don't pay it till next year? How much does that hamburger cost you? It costs you $1.20 because the interest rate by which you're being charged to borrow that money is 20%. So we find out that now we're paying 20% more for the same hamburger. Now multiply this over $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 for your mortgage. Sometimes that's 6, 7, 8, 9%. Now you see why it's important to understand the interest rate. Also, we need to understand the terms by which we agree to. Are you going to pay it back monthly? Are you going to pay back this loan over 15 years, 30 years? Each loan is going to have their term by which you need to agree upon. Now, when you deal with credit cards, typically they give you about a 30-day grace period. This gives you an opportunity to pay back the loan before they start charging interest on the balances that remain after that 30-day period. So if you go 30 days in one day, unfortunately, you're going to have to pay the interest on the balance that remains. Savings. So what is savings? Now, when people traditionally think about savings, they think about coupons. They think about sales. They think about going to your big box stores. They see a dress. They see a suit. That's $1,000. That was marked down to $500. They consider that saving money. But that's not saving money. What saving money is taking your purchasing power today, the assets that you have, and pushing them into the future to a later date where you can use them if you so need to. Now, what we find in America, because Americans are $1 trillion in debt, we are finding out that people are not pushing their purchasing power into the future. They're doing something that is destroying their financial plan. They're spending tomorrow's dollars today. And that's the problem. So when we are saving, what we want to say is that I have more than what I need today, and I'm going to take a portion of this and put it into the future just in case I need it. Now, I know a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. Now, that is a term that is very subjective. What does it mean to live paycheck to paycheck? Because some people make $1 million a year. They're living paycheck to paycheck. Some people are making $20,000 a year. They're living paycheck to paycheck. So what makes the difference? It's lifestyle. What are you trying to support? My dad used to tell me this. If you spend less than you make, you'll always have money. Why? Because there is going to be a gap between what you can purchase and how much money you have to purchase it. And that's what we want to increase. We want to increase our savings. So the general rule is that we maintain at least 6 to 9 months of emergency savings, just in case your tire goes out, you're changing jobs, you need to move, you need first and last month's rent for a new apartment, or there's a natural disaster that you did not prepare for. This is going to be your bread and butter. This is what's going to start establishing your financial freedom. Now, if you skip the first two steps and you start going into investing, the risk may be too high. If you have $1,000, you don't have any savings, you're deep in debt, you try to invest and you lose that money, now you lose the opportunity to one, get out of debt, and two, save for any future events. And that can be very scary. But if you've taken care of step one and step two, now you're ready to multiply things above your needs. And that is a beautiful place to be. Now, we always talk about charity. When we talk about Christian financial planning, we always talk about the family. Is your family okay? Does your family have food? Does your family have shelter? Does your family have water? Do they have the things necessary to live the lifestyle in a comfortable manner? Now, we're not talking about luxuries here. We're talking about survival. If they do, any and everything above that can be used for charity. I know a lot of pastors, and I know a lot of churches encourage you to give your gross, but God has given you that money, is being taxed by the government, and you're left with the leftovers. So why are you going to give that portion to the church? Take care of your family, then give the rest. And the reason I say this is because if you get in the habit of giving what God has provided for you to other people in your community and your family suffers, you are worse than a non-believer. And there's actually a scripture that goes with that. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So if you're taking a large portion of your assets and giving it to the community without taking care of your household stability, you are worse than a non-believer. And I don't think that's what you are. So when we talk about investing, there's a plethora of things that we can get into. We can talk about your retirement accounts. We can talk about 401ks, 403bs, 457s. We could talk about brokerage accounts, all these different types of vehicles that you can use to invest. And this is where you're going to need a professional. A lot of people talk about do it yourself. Yes, you can do it yourself, but do you want to? And I think that is the mentality we need to understand. Do I want to spend 8 hours a day looking at the stock market, seeing about fluctuations, talking about index funds, stocks, mutual funds? Or do I want to talk to a professional who's going to give me the information necessary to make prudent decisions? And that is the difference between a Christian financial advisor and a traditional financial advisor. A traditional financial advisor is about increasing your assets. A Christian financial advisor is about understanding what you need and providing you the information so you can make prudent decisions about you and your life. This is your life. This is your spirituality. This is your connection. This is your ability to expand your connection with God and the community at large. The fourth is going to be the wealth transfer. Many times we see Christians who pass away without leaving instructions. Now, you've come this far, all this way. You've come on a beautiful journey. You've worked, you got out of debt, you saved your money, you've invested, you've learned a lot about stocks, bonds, mutual funds. You've really sacrificed for those you love. Now, don't leave it to chance that they have to go through the same process. It's on us to pass on our core beliefs and our values to the next generation. That's the beauty of the Bible. These are great lessons that are passed on from generation to generation. And we need to do the same thing with our finances. So what we do is we create documentation for the estate plan, and we make sure that you live a happy life and that those you leave behind are taken care of so you can truly rest in peace. And we do that with documentation such as medical proxies. So what a medical proxy is just lets the doctors know, one, who's in charge and what to do in case of a medical emergency. So if you're on life support, should they pull the plug? Should they try to give you medical attention? When you're in that state, you may not have the mental capacity to make those decisions on your own. So it's very important that we write those down. Also, your assets, they may mean something to you, but what do they mean to your beneficiaries? Are they going to sell off all your stuff? Are they going to say, well, dad told me XYZ, mom told me this, and they may argue. But when you have your will, we have everything organized, you'll be able to pass on your wealth and your beliefs to your children, saying, listen, this is what I want to occur when I pass away. And guess what? It's going to be legal. So we went over debt management, we went over savings, we went over investing, and we talked about the wealth transfer. So what is this key that we all need to know if we are going to be Christian investors as opposed to your traditional investors? The key here is that God owns it all. Now, I don't want you to cut off the video yet because it's not what you think it is. When we say God owns it all, it is a mentality on how we approach our finances. The stock market is volatile. It's going to go up, it's going to go down, and it may come back up. We know statistically that traditionally there's about a 15% pullback that happens 4 times a year. There's also a 30% pullback that happens about once every 5 years. And then also we have some of those market corrections that happen maybe once every 10 to 15 years. We understand this. It's documented, and those who have weathered the storm have come out better than those who give up. So short-term investors, that's what we hear the stories of people losing all their assets. The great part about investing, it's almost the opposite of gambling. When you go to Vegas, you know you're going to lose. Everyone knows the odds are against them. And when you start winning, what does Vegas do? They kick you out, right? Investing is the opposite. The longer that you invest, it increases your probability of doing better. And what we do, we diversify your risk by investing in multiple companies and not just one. We find ways to reduce your exposure to losing tons of money and make sure that your ride is smooth so you can stay invested longer and increase your chances of success. Now, when we say God owns it all, is that we can't control the stock market. That is under God's control. But we can control some things in our life. How much that we save, how much that we spend, how long do we work, when we retire, how much assets do we give to other people. We can make those decisions, and those are the handles that we pull. The things that are outside of our control are weather. We can't control if there's a tornado or a hurricane that comes our way. We can't control flooding. We can't control car accidents. But what we can control is our mentality and how we approach these problems. And what we do, we put our trust in God. And that is where you're going to be successful.